2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll just read verse number 10. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. Again, we ask you to bless us as we spend a few moments and consider a few simple thoughts. Father, may your Holy Spirit have free reign in our hearts and our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've been looking at this verse, we've seen the fact that Timothy fully knew these things about the Apostle Paul. He spent many years with Paul traveling, going as Paul's assistant to different cities, his ambassador to different churches, and he understood what Paul was all about. As we study the Word of God and we learn of the Apostle Paul, Timothy knew all these things. Not because he read about Paul, but simply because he knew Paul. Paul was his friend. Paul was his mentor. He knew his doctrine. We've talked about that. He knew his manner of life. We talked about that. He knew Paul's purpose, his motivation. We talked about that. And so tonight we land on Paul's faith. When we consider what Paul accomplished and we consider what Paul wrote in the Word of God, now we know that God gave him the words. But Paul recorded the very Word of God, and so much about faith, it's difficult for me to put a message like this together because I want to make this one subject a whole series all by itself because the Bible has so much to say about faith. And so we're going to try to limit it just simply to tonight as we talk about the faith of Paul, Paul's testimony of faith. And as we look at Paul's testimony of faith, then we try to apply that to our own faith. How do I measure up to the faith of the Apostle Paul? Now, chances are we're not going to measure up very favorably. Now, maybe you do, but the Apostle Paul was an incredible man. And so we should be challenged by Paul's faith. And as in his late days, as he expects to die very soon after he wrote this, and he says to Timothy, now you remember this is how I lived. This was my faith. Now go and do likewise. Duplicate what you knew to be in me. The first thing I want to look at is Paul's faith was an absolute trust in God. Now, if you want to turn to page 1589, Romans chapter 8, very familiar verse, but it gives us that definition that Paul's faith was an absolute trust in God. Paul endured a lot of things, a lot of negative things, a lot of things that would have made the average individual quit. How did Paul keep on going? How did Paul keep from stopping? How did he keep from getting his feelings so hurt that he wasn't going to do anything for anybody ever again? Because that's the way the average Christian would respond when they went through even just a little sliver of what the Apostle Paul endured to serve God and the things that he did for our Savior. And I would suggest to you tonight that the reason Paul was able to take that next step, the reason Paul was able to go to the next city, the way he was able to preach the next message, the way he was able to share the gospel with that next person is all because of the faith that he demonstrated in this life before Timothy, that he's telling Timothy, now you know this and you know this well, and so go and do as I did because I won't be here long. In Romans chapter 8, of course, I'm going to land in verse number 28, where he tells us that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so we see that Paul here gives us a working definition of faith. Now I understand Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to go there in just a moment, but Paul gives us a working definition of faith. This is how you get through day by day, moment by moment, circumstance by circumstance, by faith. It's because we understand, just not because we feel it, not because others tell us, but because God told us that whatever's happening is for good. He doesn't say it is good. He doesn't say it's enjoyable. He doesn't say it's pleasurable. He doesn't say it always works out for our personal benefit or our personal gain. And there's so many today preaching that it will lead to monetary gain if you live for God. God doesn't say that. He says works out for good. And what's the conclusion here in verse 28. According to whose purpose? You see, if we're going to preach that way, that if I do God's will, then I'll always be healthy, I'll always be financially well off, I'll always have everything go my way, that's according to my own personal purpose. But that's not what the Word of God says, does it? We're talking about faith and the way that Paul lived and the fact that Paul, in his faith, had an absolute trust in God. That God had a purpose for Paul's life, and that in order to achieve that purpose, he had to run Paul sometimes through the ringer. Now, that's not to say, we focus on that so often, that's not to say that Paul didn't have those high days, those good days, those days where everything seemed to go right. I mean, he spent a lot of time in some cities where things were very prosperous. And God did some marvelous things through the Apostle Paul. And he had days where he went to bed with a smile on his face. But he also had days where he went to bed with a frown on his face because things did not go well. Paul's saying it doesn't matter what happened today as he laid down at night. It doesn't matter what happened today. It was good because I lived in the center of God's will. Now that's an absolute faith in God, an absolute trust in God, that whatever comes our way, God had a purpose for it in molding me and running me right down the middle of his will. That's the way you and I are to live. That's the way Paul was encouraging Timothy to live. That trust God absolutely. That whatever comes, we devote it to him in prayer. We commit our lives to him without reservation. And God will lead us. And God will only bring that in our lives, which is according to his purpose. That's faith. That's the faith by which we find the Apostle Paul lived. And we can go back into the book of Acts and starting with his salvation experience on the road to Damascus and go all the way through the book of Acts, and we would find that's exactly the way he lived. Exactly the way God recorded his life for us in that book of history. And so we find, first of all, when we're talking about the faith of Paul, is that it was an absolute trust in God. How is your faith? Is it an absolute trust in God, or does it only go so far? Or is it conditional? That's the way the average Christian is today. It's only conditional. If things don't go my way and if too much bad piles up, then, well, forget that. I don't believe in God anymore. That's not the way the Apostle Paul lived, and that's not the way you and I are to live. All right, let's look at point number two. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. That's page 1723 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible, 1723. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. And this is the verse we generally go to for a definition of faith. But I want to kind of expand our attention here in Hebrews chapter 11 and get something different out of it, because we just looked at a definition of faith there in Romans chapter 8. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read this in verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now we need to just meditate on that statement for a little while. The substance of things hoped for. Faith. We talked about heaven this morning. Has anyone here seen heaven? Not a one of us has seen heaven, other than through our imagination. But the fact is, heaven is real. And the fact is, God has prepared it for us, according to John chapter 14. And the fact is, God has promised it to us. And because we have faith in God, we see it as if it exists, and we've already been there and back. That's faith. It's the evidence, or excuse me, it's the substance of things hoped for. We don't question whether heaven is real. We don't question whether there's a street of gold. We don't question whether there's a mansion up there waiting for us when we arrive. Because the Word of God has promised us that, and therefore, it's good enough for me. I believe it. And if I didn't believe it, it doesn't change the fact, does it? Because God promised it. But because I have faith in God, that is substance for what I don't see. You know, I was teasing Blaine about he got the wrong colors on his coat before the service. Makes me think about Michigan football. You know, I really hope Michigan, if they play football, beats Ohio State this year, finally. Be nice. But you know what? It's probably not going to happen, is it? There's no substance there to my hope or my faith. But heaven's different, isn't it? And all the promises of God are different. There is substance, and we do know it. With more confidence than you would say, Ohio State's going to beat Michigan this year. With more confidence. All right? So let's move on to the second half of this verse, the evidence of things not seen. Can you imagine going to a murder trial and witnessing this scene? The judge is on the bench. You've got the accused on one side. You've got the prosecutor on the other. And one of the prosecutors is questioning a witness. And the witness is unrelated to either the victim or the accused. And the prosecutor asks them, now, did you witness the crime? He says, no. Did you know either the accused or the victim? And the witness says, no, I didn't know either. I'm just ordinary Joe. And the prosecutor says, did anyone tell you about either the victim or the accuser? And the witness says, no, never heard of them before in my life until you called me here on the stand and introduced me to them. How much worth would there be in the testimony of that witness? Absolutely nothing. There'd be no faith in that witness. But we have, through faith, faith becomes that witness that gives us the evidence of things we've never seen. And we know it to be true. Now, as we've defined faith, think about the rest of chapter 11. We're not going to go through it all. Most of you know it very well. But it lists individual after individual whose life was changed because they had that faith. They had the substance and they had the evidence. And here's the point. The first point was faith is an absolute trust in God, but we see that faith affects the choices we make. Faith affects the choices we make. And when you consider this great chapter of faith, as God lists for us so many historical figures that attempted and accomplished great things for God, we understand the reason they did what they did was because of their faith in God. Now, when Abel, in verse number 4, offered this more excellent sacrifice, and when Noah built the boat, and when Abraham left the country, the reason they did was because their faith affected the choices they made. Abel could have joined up with Cain and said, you know what? I agree with you. Let's offer the best crops that we have, the best that we've done. Or Noah could have said, yeah, I heard this voice out of heaven that may have been God, but I may have just had too much pizza last night. And so I think I'll skip out on building that boat because that's an awful lot of work and it'll make life awfully difficult for me. So I just don't think I'll do it. It'll be too inconvenient for me. You know, that's the excuse essentially that a lot of Christians make for the choices they do when they don't follow God. They come, well, it's inconvenient. Too much work. Too hard. Maybe that was just my imagination or my emotions taking over. Maybe that wasn't God speaking to me and prompting me and encouraging me to do something. That Noah could have done that, no boat. You and I wouldn't be here, would we? All our ancestors would have drowned in the flood. Abraham didn't have to leave the country. He could have said all the same things. Hey, I ain't leaving home. I want to stay close to mama. How many guys have said that? Don't want to go on the mission field because God called them, but mom and dad are getting up in years and they realize it's not so bad anymore. I really like living in this generation. I can see the grandkids whenever I want. It doesn't matter if they're on the other side of the world. We just connect on FaceTime and we can see them and they can show off for us and recite us their verses. And it was pretty amazing at Anna's this past week. Chipper is 3 years old. He'll turn 4 in January. So 3.5 years old exactly. stood up and recited the 23rd Psalm. Now, when he got to the last couple of verses, he did need a couple of prompts. But Chloe, at 5 years old, and well, she'll turn six here in about a little over a month, and she did it word perfect without any prompts. And I'm glad I get to see that. But if I wasn't here, and they do the verses over Skype or over FaceTime. But missionaries in the past didn't have that privilege that we have today. And so when they left, they had to leave a lot behind, and a lot of them didn't go because they couldn't leave mama, or they couldn't leave the grandkids, or they couldn't do this or that because their faith wasn't an absolute trust in God. And so it affected the choices they made. And they didn't always make good choices. Now the Apostle Paul, he lived by faith. It affected the choices he made all the time. Turn over to Romans 1:17, page 1578. Romans chapter 1. In the book of Habakkuk, God tells us that the just shall live by faith, and that is quoted from in numerous places in the New Testament, all by the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 1, in verse 16, he says, not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, but in verse 17, he goes on to say, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. What Paul is saying here is, I'm assured of my salvation because of faith. That's the only reason we can have that 100% certainty that we're on our way to heaven. If you don't have a 100% certainty of heaven, then you don't have the faith that the Apostle Paul had for salvation, and you don't have salvation either. The Bible tells us that if you're saved, you're 100% sure you're going there because you have faith in the promises of God. You have faith in the fact that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, His death was sufficient. His blood that was shed was sufficient for your sins and for the sins of all of mankind. And we believe that. It's that substance, it's that evidence, and it causes us to have that absolute trust that God's promises are true. Paul had that faith. Timothy knew Paul had that faith. And so Timothy witnessed Paul demonstrate that faith by walking in faith of the assurance of salvation. Over a few pages of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1651 in your Rock of Ages study Bible, we have another occurrence of this quote from Habakkuk, as God used Paul to write the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 7, he says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now the context here is the resurrection. Look in verse number 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Then verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so Paul sandwiched this, for we walk by faith, not by sight, right in that whole concept or that whole passage about dying and going to be with God, or staying here and be absent or be present in the body and not absent from the body. And so Paul, as he walked those dusty roads of the ancient world with Timothy, who witnessed how he lived, how he acted, how his choices were made, he noticed that Paul's faith was always looking for the resurrection, always trusting. Paul wasn't concerned about death because he knew that when he closed his eyes here, he would open them in heaven. That's exactly what this passage is telling us. And so Paul is demonstrating living by faith before Timothy. Over in Galatians chapter 3, that would be page 1645. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And so there we see it again. But the whole context here is a contrast between faith and the law. And he's trying to get across the point that if you're walking by faith, you worship in spirit and in truth, as opposed to pomp and circumstance or by the observance of the law. We have different denominations going by the name of Christian that give you a list of things that if you do them, you're on your way to heaven, such as the sacraments or baptism or speaking in tongues or demonstrating other spiritual gifts. These are pomp and circumstance. These are the law. These are things that we can do in order to try to please God and therefore claim to worship Him by doing these. But the Bible speaks out against that and says that is not faith. And the just shall live by faith, not by the keeping of the law. And Timothy witnessed Paul demonstrate that on a daily basis as he walked with him. In Hebrews chapter 10, which is page 1723 in the Rock of Ages Study Bible, Hebrews chapter 10, if you go back where we start, or we're just a moment ago in Hebrews 11 and look up a few verses, Hebrews chapter 10, he says, now the just shall live, this is verse 38, Hebrews 10, 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, there's been a lot of debate over who wrote the book of Hebrews. Who thinks Paul wrote the book of Hebrews? Who thinks Barnabas wrote the book of Hebrews? I think he's the second most popular choice. You know both answers are wrong, don't you? That's a trick question. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? God did. But I firmly believe the Apostle Paul was the human instrument. And the reason I believe that is the early church from the early years always believed the Apostle Paul wrote it. And then later on, people came along and looked at the book and said, I don't think Paul wrote it. Who are they to say several hundred years later who wrote it? And so I believe Paul wrote this. And what we have in these two verses are two of the strongest verses for eternal security you'll find in the Scriptures. Paul says it's just to live by faith, but if any man draw back. In other words, if they give up their faith, if they quit living for God, if they begin to live for the world, if they give up Christianity entirely, he says, my soul will have no pleasure in them. I won't be happy about it. They'll disappoint me. But he goes on to say in verse 39, but I still think they're saved. Now, those aren't the words he used, but that's exactly what he's saying when he says, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. So apparently there were those that were saying that if someone went back and lived for the world or went back to their old religion, there were those that were teaching that at that moment they got lost again and they're no longer saved. But Paul says, we're not of that type. We don't teach that. We believe to the saving of the soul. And so what we find here is Paul is saying that if we live by faith, we'll remain faithful to God to the end. And we'll talk about that later. But the point is, Paul demonstrated that. Turn over to 2 Timothy 4:7, page 1697. We're talking about if we live by faith, we're going to finish well. We'll finish by faith. Paul, at the end of his life, had this to say in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Notice this last phrase. I have kept the faith. Paul wasn't one of those who drew back. Paul's faith was an absolute trust in God. And an absolute trust in God never failed him. Paul died a martyr's death. Paul, at the time of the writing of 2 Timothy, was in the Roman prison, realizing he would never get out in this life. That his only escape from prison was beheading and transferring to heaven at that moment. And so he kept the faith to the end because he lived by faith, and he demonstrated that in Timothy, in front of Timothy, day by day, week by week, year by year. He knew that faith affected the choices we make. We could go to, we're not going to because I'm already out of time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23 through 28. We've read it before. You've read it before. Paul talks about all the things he endured, the 40 stripes save one that he endured, the times he was shipwrecked. And then he concludes it with the care of the churches, not just physical difficulties and stress, but emotional difficulties and stress. If anyone had a reason to quit, the Apostle Paul did. But he didn't, because his faith affected the choices he made. Faith will not let you quit. If you have faith in God, that is an absolute trust in God. And so Paul says to Timothy, back in 3:10, right across the page, he says, "Thou hast fully known my faith." How does your faith measure up to Paul's? Probably doesn't quite reach that level, does it? So what do we do about it? Faith dictates, if you have it, true, genuine Christian faith. Faith will cause you to make the choices and give you the determination to try. To try. If you come up short, don't settle for what you have. Reach higher depths. As he said in Philippians chapter 3, "I have not yet attained." And he talked about reaching forth to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Don't ever quit growing in Christ. Don't ever be satisfied with the faith you currently possess. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for Paul's testimony. Thank you for, even though you wrote these words, they've been settled forever in heaven. Father, you used Paul's personal experience, a real life man living in a real life situation, whose history we have much of it recorded for us in your word, so that we can see that we can achieve this. It's not something beyond our grasp. And Father, may through the agency of your Holy Spirit, help us to aspire to the faith that Paul demonstrated before Timothy. And here in the passage we've been looking at is encouraging Timothy to seek to achieve. Father, in that way we can make a difference in our world, our families, our communities, and the world about us. Father, now again we pray for our leaders and our nation and our states and our cities. Father, give them wisdom and give them guidance and direction in all that they face today. Bless us now as we are dismissed. In Jesus' name, amen.